From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us today. This is Alan Kern saying hello to you, and welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue to look at Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, on the subject, Jesus Christ, man's only point of contact with God. We'll be returning to that after some gospel music in just a few minutes. But first, our hot topic for today, the blame-free society. Most people are naturally good at the blame game. You know how it works. To ease your conscience or deflect attention from your failure, you heap the blame on someone else. It happens all the time in homes, offices, and churches across the world. I suppose that it's one of the most corrosive of all the elements at work to destroy family harmony or church fellowship. As I say, passing the buck comes naturally. So it shouldn't be at all that surprising that even when very bad things happen in the most public sphere, nobody's willing to take the blame. It seems that we have evolved a blame-free society in which fools and criminals are all really just victims. It would be so cruel to blame them. In late June, a man appeared in court on a charge of murder. He admitted that he had killed his girlfriend, using 18 different knives to slash and stab her a total of 145 times. But, he said, it wasn't my fault. He mutilated her face as she lay dying. But it was all in self-defense. Though there was no alcohol in her system, she was drunk and attacked him. And anyway, as they struggled, he claimed they kept yelling, "I love you." Naturally, that excused everything. Her death couldn't be his fault. You may remember that a few months ago, the crew of a small British gunboat was captured and held hostage by the Iranians. I'm not going to blame the sailors for how they conducted themselves in captivity, though in many parts of the British military there have been serious questions raised. In the aftermath of that event, there was a scandal about the military top brass and the government prohibiting, then allowing, then again prohibiting, the service personnel selling their stories to the media. A couple of full-scale investigations followed. They came to an astounding conclusion. There were multiple failures and errors, but no one was responsible. Even the government minister who had told Parliament that he accepted full responsibility. It was all nobody's fault. No one's head rolled. You could multiply examples. Even the most violent criminals are really cuddly little teddy bears just waiting to get out from the terrible things that turned them into the monsters they have become. And if we will stop blaming them and holding them responsible by punitive sentencing and allow a shrink or two to work a little magic on them, they'll be as capable as ever. That's a chilling thought. To take their place in our blame-free society. This blame-free society naturally hates the gospel. You see, the entire gospel is based on the truth that God holds men responsible for their sins and will judge and punish them eternally for those sins. It is only in recognizing this truth that any sinner can receive the good news of the gospel that Christ died for our sins. The Lord Jesus commands us to repent and believe the gospel. Ultimately, the cruelest hoax anyone can play on another is to make him believe that he's not responsible for his sins. He is. God says so, and will judge him for them. But he also welcomes every sinner who has faced up to the guilt of his sins to come in repentance and faith to his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to receive not only pardon, but the gift of a perfect righteousness and the power to live a new life of victory over sin. And it all starts with accepting the blame for our own sins. You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, which comes to you from Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. We're glad that you've taken the time to be with us today, and we trust that the Lord is blessing the program to your heart. Every so often I draw to your attention the fact that we produce here at Let the Bible Speak a quarterly magazine in full color that seeks to continue the theme of the broadcast and let the Bible speak on things that are important to the people of God. We leave it to others to fiddle around with things that really don't matter very much, and we want to instruct and edify and help God's people on issues of real importance from the Scriptures. Our latest Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine is available, and it deals with the subject of the doctrines of grace. Some people call these Calvinism. The doctrines of grace, those doctrines which seek to elevate and glorify the grace of God revealed in the everlasting gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I trust that you'll take the opportunity to have your free copy of the magazine sent. Send us your request and we'll be glad to add you to our mailing list, and we'll send you the magazine each time it comes out. You'll find it a blessing. There is no charge, and I can assure you, as always, that when you give us your mailing address, we don't pass it on to anybody else, nor do we ever use it for follow-up, giving one begging letter after another. We never do that. We don't beg. We are happy to provide the magazine to you as a ministry that we trust will be a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to receive your copy of the Let the Bible Speak quarterly, you can write to us here at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Or you may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you prefer, you may call us toll-free at 866-877 LTBS, 866-877-5827. So these are the ways you can get in touch. We'll be happy to let you have Let the Bible Speak quarterly, and I know it will be instructive, edifying, and a blessing to your heart.
The great question of our age will be, can man live without God? And that is the question of our age. That's what man is seeking to do. That's what official policy, whether it's in the US Congress or Supreme Court or in the British House of Parliament or in the European Parliament or wherever else, in the great congresses of the world, that's what man is seeking to do, is to live without God. And in order to do that, he's going to enforce a unity that is going to put every believer in Jesus Christ under immense pressure. So what do you do in a case like that? Well, the Lord Jesus tells us what to do. He says, remember, I send you forth. Let's not overlook that. I'm sending you. A little later, as I've put it, he says, all things are delivered to me of my Father. At the end of this gospel, he says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He says, now I'm sending you forth. The Jews may be against you. Caesar may be against you. All the power of the political establishment may be against you. But I am sending you forth. What a confidence that gives you. Let me tell you, my friend, we should never, never, never overlook the simple but sublime truth. When I know Jesus Christ is my Savior and He sends me forth, I go forth with the authority of the God of heaven. And so does every Christian going out into this world. So does every missionary, every preacher, every witness sent by God. You have an authority. The idea is also, of course, that when I send you forth, I have a purpose. These people may be opposing it and they may think they're overthrowing it, but in actual fact, they're only fulfilling it. That's the wonderful truth, you know. I said this had vast eschatological implications. It does. Men, in seeking to overthrow God, men, in seeking to overthrow the gospel, are actually fulfilling the very purpose of God. Daniel chapter 2 takes us all the way from the time of the prophet right up to the time of the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. And though he doesn't go into every detail of every nation under heaven, he gives us in the interpretation of the great image that Nebuchadnezzar saw in his vision, he gives us a history of the major points of this world and its development and its hatred against God and His gospel. What men are doing does not overthrow the purpose of God, and it does not overthrow the purpose of the gospel. So when you're faced with opposition, remember, Jesus said, I sent you. I sent you. And I have my purpose to fulfill, and fulfill it I will. Furthermore, remember your calling. I send you a sheep. Is there a more precious and blessed description of the people of God in all the Bible than that one? You're my sheep. John 10, you're those who have heard my voice. You're those for whom I shed my blood. You're those whom I have brought into the fold and family of God. You're those who have Jehovah for their shepherd to lead them every step of the way. You are my sheep. Never forget that. And when I send you forth, Jesus says, I'm sending you forth as sheep. Now you're surrounded by wolves. Common sense would tell you that you've either got to enlist a few wolves or stronger than wolves to protect you, or you've got to become a little wolf like yourself. Jesus says, forget about all that. We're not dealing with this after the flesh. I'm sending you forth as sheep. Live as the sheep of my pasture. Never forget what you are and live accordingly. This is a call to holy living. Living as the sheep. No matter what the pressures to the contrary, no matter what the political climate, no matter what the social climate, no matter what the opposition to God and godliness, no matter what's happening around about us, we are called to be holy. God has not sent you out into the world to be like the world. I think of the words of the psalmist in the 141st Psalm, when he made a vow to God that he would not eat of their dainties. He would not sit down in the filthiness and the wickedness and the idolatry of the ungodly and participate with them just because they presented things that seemed like dainties, like sweets, like things that the flesh liked to taste. No, he says, I'll not eat of those. I have no communion with those who are in communion with hell. I'm one of his sheep. It's a call to holiness. It's a call to personal separation. And therefore it's a call to fearlessness. The man who is sent by God, who is the sheep of Christ's pasture, purchased by the blood of his atonement, protected by his staff, led by his voice, the one who is living in holy communion with him, need not fear. And particularly, he says, don't be afraid when you don't know what to say. I'm sure every one of us has been in this position when you're going to be in a place where much is expected of you. You've got to speak. You've got to do all sorts of things. And you want, how can I ever speak? How can I measure up to this? What am I going to say? And you start imagining, if I say this, they say that. Well, if they say that, I reply. And you get a whole thing going. Of course, it never works out that way. Jesus says, forget about all that. There's a better way. Now, let me debunk a notion that has got too widely spread among God's people, and that is that you can just go around, you know, and you can just be sure anytime you open your mouth, God's going to fill it and you're going to be able to speak wonderful words of wisdom. Don't you believe it? I've heard more nonsense coming from the mouths of so-called Christians, some of them preachers, mind you. What's he saying here? See, if you live as sheep and you're hearing his voice, If you're living in communion with Him, if you are feasting on the Word of God day by day, if you're filling your mind with Holy Scripture and not with the unholy trash of the world and the wickedness and the idolatry of this age, if you're filling your heart and your mind and your soul with the Word of God, then when crunch time comes, you'll have the right word. You will have it. Trouble why most of us don't have the word when we need it is because we haven't felt the need of having it earlier on. Get into the word and then fear not. Never forget, as he teaches in verse 30, that your Father values you. He says, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. That's a verse that usually calls forth jocular remarks about the balding amongst us and how easy it is to count the hairs in their head. Never forget the wonderful truth that's here. Down to the smallest detail, the Lord looks after His people. He knows you. He knows your circumstances. He knows your feelings. He knows your needs. He knows your challenges. He knows your fears. He knows your weakness. He knows you. The psalmist said, though the Lord be high, yet hath He respect unto the needy. The Lord is high, but yet He thinks on me. I think of that. And when you realize that your Father values you, then the things that appear to be happening to your detriment are actually not for your detriment at all. Jacob said, all these things are against me. And I couldn't blame Jacob for saying that. He had lost everything that he counted valuable. He was facing death by starvation. He says, everything's against me. And yet, when he said that, things were never more for him than they had ever been before. They were wonderfully working out. He just couldn't see it. Your Father values you. Do a lot of us a whole lot of good to keep that in mind. Because if I know the devil, and I believe me, I know him only too well. I wish he and I were not on very good, I don't mean good terms, but on terms of knowing each other so often. But if I know the devil, he's mighty good at putting you down. For every Christian that's an arrogant, foolish upstart, I meet 100 who are despondent and down and hopeless. And I have no value. And I'm no use. Now, every one of us will think that sooner or later. My wife used to fear Mondays. I don't think she particularly likes them yet. Monday was the preacher's blue day, black day. I've often said it was the providence of God that stopped me pursuing particular goals that I had, for if I had ever fulfilled them, I probably would have resigned on one of those black Mondays when the devil would come. And he didn't even have to tell a lie to tell it, but man, he enjoyed telling it. How utterly futile. How utterly useless. How do you ever dare to call yourself a preacher? Give it all up. You're useless and this and that and the other thing. My, how we need to get alone with God and realize our Father values us.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairn saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.